We started out with Aries as a force, and that force developed an attractive field around it, which was Taurus. And then we developed an oscillation between force and field, which was Gemini. But then everything had to be damped, and that damping was Cancer. And after damping, it was capable of radiation, which was Leo. And we come back to a common sign again, only this time it isn't just an oscillation. It's an oscillation that is attuned, which is called a resonance. So we got another buzzy common sign here, common to two other signs. And it's something that is the middling attunement between will and imagination. If Aries represents assertion, and from that assertion, Taurus represents responsibility, and from that responsibility, Gemini represents practical knowledge, and from that, Cancer represents getting the feel of it, and then you can outpour, and the unrestrained outpouring is Leo. But if you let the universe become just an outpouring, it loses all form, and it loses efficiency, and you certainly need to have efficiency. So Virgo represents efficiency that comes through organization. Where Virgo is involved in the character, or if Virgo is very pronounced, it can't stand disorganization. However, its sense of organization sometimes is rather peculiar, but that doesn't make any difference. It's sort of like you have even the kings, you might say, like in King Arthur's Knights, he needed a seneschal, and Virgo is the seneschal. If Aries represents biting, and Taurus represents chewing, and Cancer represents, Gemini represents swallowing, and Cancer represents chemical digestion, and Leo represents overpowering, Virgo represents discrimination and assimilation. The little villi and the lacteals that are in the small intestines are amazingly discriminating. If you need something in your body, no matter how small the concentration of it is in your food, those little villi will discriminate it and pick it up. And the process of assimilation means that something is taken to its similar. Meaning to say, like what the brain needs brain food, which is sugar. What the heart needs is heat, muscle food, which is oil. And so a sugar gets assimilated to the brain, and oil gets assimilated to the heart. And all of this is done with great exactitude. We're talking about a sign that is really quite discriminate. It knows exactly what it wants and what is needed. It's not for itself. It can't do it necessarily for itself, because then it gets into all kinds of a muddle. But if it's serving something else, it knows exactly what is needed and exactly how much. If we start with a creative urge in the first house, and in the second house we get our materials together, and in the third house we get the elementary thoughts and tools, and in the fourth house we incubate, and in the fifth house we express. And if it were the fifth house alone, it would be done. Everything would be express, and it would be fully carried out. But nothing, not even Leo, is beyond improvement. So the improvement usually comes from those people that we don't like at all, critics. we're talking about the sign of criticism. Things don't always work right, and it needs someone critical who can get down to the brass tacks of it and find out what is what and why it is so. If Aries represents pushiness, and Taurus represents resistance, and Gemini represents chattiness or continuous gabbing, and Cancer represents subjectivity, and Leo represents domination, Virgo is picky. Here we have the concentration of all the pettiness in the entire horoscope, I think, or in all the entire heavens is for the pettiness. If we live by our thoughts, which is how Virgo tries to live, our opinions are as thick or as thin as our thoughts are. And if we have just very fleeting or very small thoughts, our opinions are petty. If Aries represents drive, and Taurus represents stuff, and Gemini represents thought, and Cancer represents imagination, and Leo represents creative love, Virgo represents purification. Virgo wants something that is very pure, something that is unadulterated. You know, it's like when you go into a chemistry class. This is one of the chemical signs, most certainly the most highly chemical sign. The first experience that you do in a chemistry class is as you weigh a sheet of paper. And then you write your name on the sheet of paper and you weigh it again to see how much, you know, it's that kind of very, very purified so that you know exactly what something is. Now, there are two kinds of purity, and we're going to talk about them both in a little bit, but Virgo is for both of them. Now, all of this works for a society as well. This part of the talk grows and grows all the way through the 12 signs, and even after the 12 signs are over. But all what we're talking about, zodiacal evolution or domified evolution, it applies to society as well as the individual. Aries represents a pioneer state. Taurus represents when there is landed settlement. Gemini represents when there are boundaries. It likes drawing those lines. Cancer represents when the homing instinct is there. And after the homing instinct, the fifth house represents children. And children are part of the workforce. So things start getting complicated, and in the development of a society, you have to have a division of labor. And the division of labor is what is represented by the sixth house in Virgo. There are, you know, it can't, in a pioneer state, when everything is Aries, you have a jack of all trades. You have to be able to do it all yourself, because you know, you can't go down to the locksmith because there's no locksmith. You have to do it all on your own. But when you get to the development of the society where there's a division of labor, you have specialists. So Virgo represents a tendency to specialization. And when you have specialization and people can limit themselves to one thing, then you have great precision. Virgo and Capricorn are the signs of exquisite precision. But the people who do that are not the people who make the decisions. You know, it's the Leonine people if it's a rulership, or it's the Capricornian people if it's executive. But the sixth house Virgo people are the support people. The support people are very, very important to any endeavor. Looking at the symbol, different people have seen it in different ways. Since it's about harvest time, some people see the symbol as shocks of wheat. It's the preparations for the harvest. The preparations are where Virgo excels. If you're going to have a picnic, you let the Virgo make the plans for the picnic. Everybody will have to follow about 18 steps, but that's all right. It'll work out just nicely. Some people think that seen this way, that Virgo represents, the symbol of Virgo represents the intestines. But it really isn't. What it is a bastardization of the Greek U, probably standing for mother. Sometimes you need a pictorial zodiac. In this case, in the pictorial zodiac, the Virgo is pictured as a virgin, and in her left hand she has a shock of grain, which if it is a true Virgo, it's probably a rye, and in her right hand she's fondling her hair, and she is exactly as Sigmund Freud says, when a maiden falls, she lands on her back. She's laying on her back in the zodiac. In the Bible, the grain is harvested and all of that, and it's made into loaves that represent the entire harvest. And so the whole idea of preparation of something or putting it through a proper process to make things right is a Virgo idea. This is a sign that is really process-oriented, step-by-step process, very programmed. And so these are the loaves there that are the opposite of the fishes, which is Pisces. And so in the when Jesus was here, it was right before the age of Pisces. And he says, when they ask him for a sign of a sign from heaven, he says, I give you no sign but the sign of Jonah, which is the sign of the whale, which is the big fish. And he distributes fishes and loaves, which are the new teaching, the teaching for the Piscean dispensation. We'll have a whole talk that we dedicate to that kind of thing. So it's the process of making something useful. Harvesting, gleaning, sifting, winnowing, milling, sifting, all of those things. In the spiritual sense, which does apply to Virgo, because there's always something beyond with Virgo, it never quite comes through explicitly. But the virgin means something that is above the passions and that is above personal desire. We're not talking about material virginity, like someone who has not experienced coition. What we're talking about is someone who is virgin in that they do not indulge in personal passion. So this can come out in many different ways. If one is that aloof and responding to that higher side of Virgo, it comes out as a prissy kind of mentalist sometimes. You know, the archetypal librarian is what you're thinking of. However, if it is the virgin that gives its whole being so that everything material can become manifest, it's a principle of self-sacrifice. And Virgo loves to self-sacrifice, not in the same way as the opposite sign, Pisces, which likes to martyr itself, but it is very self-sacrificing. Sometimes it's gets boggled. This is the sign that goes from one mental block to another. And sometimes in that transcendent mental state, it thinks it should be material. So it goes out of the way mentally to be material, even though it isn't really in its nature to be material, but that's the way it's supposed to be. If you have grains, you have straw. And if you have straw, you have stories, right? This is a sign that we can tell a lot of stories by. What's the most famous story of straw? Rumpelstiltskin. Remember, the heroine in Rumpelstiltskin is supposed to spin the straw into gold. And then some primal nature force does that for her until she figures out its name. So straw and the whole idea. And so in spiritual life, most of our lives are straw. If we want to have what is called the golden wedding garment, you have to take the straw of life and by service, by volitionally giving yourself to it, you turn it into gold. I had a friend that was tremendously psychic, like world-class psychic. But she was a pill, a terrible pill. They wanted to build an institution for psychical research around her. And then we met, and she got the idea that her psychism, and correctly so, was involuntary. And that spiritual growth meant that it had to be completely in your control, because negative sensitivity, it's like having a car with a steering wheel that sometimes works and sometimes doesn't. It requires not only sensitivity, it requires sensitivity and the ability to drive and utilize that sensitivity. And so she gave up all of that, and she was still a pill. Because going along, she was a Virgo, so it's legal. So going along with all of that sensitivity was also all kinds of criticism and all of the Virgo traits. And it was a time that Pluto sat on my ascendant. And when Pluto sits on your ascendant, you have to do things whether you like them or not. And no matter how hard I tried to get free, I usually couldn't. But once in a while, I had something else doing it. I had a legitimate excuse. And she was with a friend of mine, and she was just being a terrible, terrible pill. And he did something to help her out from the goodness of his heart. And she saw with her clairvoyance, she saw a little gold spiral weave itself into his aura. And from then on, he was imperceptibly brighter ever since. And this is how we become saints. It's what we do from the goodness of our heart. And so the weaving of straw into gold is done by service. There's no the service is one of the keywords of Virgo. It's one of the most important keywords in life, because it's the service that we do through which we grow. So we're talking about the staff of life is what bread amounts to. Now, there used to be an ancient zodiac that there still are some pictures, or there used to be pictures in the stacks at the university library, that the caduceus of Mercury. That the caduceus of Mercury was one huge, big, long, continuous sign that ran all the way from Virgo through Scorpio. That's when there was a 10-sign zodiac. But just like there used to be 10 commandments, but then two new commandments were added, and those two commandments were love thy neighbor as thyself, which is Aquarius, and love thy God with all thy heart, which is Pisces. And with this Paul sign zodiac, it meant that the caduceus of Mercury had to be split up, and that became Virgo, Libra, and Scorpio. All right. Animals. Now, Virgo, along with Gemini and Libra and Aquarius, they are all considered animal. They are all considered human signs, because in their picturing in the heavens, there is no animal in them. And they are the other three are Aries signs, and Aries signs are mental signs. So we're talking about what makes for the quality of humanity is man is a rational being. So we're talking about things of mentition here, and Virgo is probably one of the most mental of all signs. Very wordy, extremely thoughtful. If there's something that is, you might not even notice it yourself, that you're uncomfortable, but the Virgo will notice that you're uncomfortable and will have thought of something to relieve your discomfort. It's possible. There are a few animals, just as there were with Gemini, a few animals, and all of the platyhill nymphs are ruled by Virgo. That is the flatworms. They are intestinal, like tapeworms we're talking about. I just this week I had the remembrance of one of the horrors of my childhood life. This is going to be a wild night for just telling stories. I've been sitting home quietly all the time the last few days. I feel free that I can let loose. But I used to walk a mile and a half to school, and if we went cross lots, it was a mile and a quarter. But if we went cross lots, we had to jump from stone to stone to cross the creek. And we were duly warned again and again that you don't eat the watercress out of the creek like the other children do, or you'll get a tapeworm. And the tapeworm will grow, and it'll be 30 feet long, and you'll be eating all day long, but you'll be emaciated because all the food will be going to the tapeworm. You know how kids take stories like that. There have been people that have had 30-foot tapeworms inside of them. So one day, I was going to the potty, and I looked back, as other children do, and my God, there was a tapeworm. It was about that wide, and it was brown, and it was about that long, and I thought, oh my God, I'm finished now. What it was is we wore these corduroy bib overhaul-like things, and when I took the strap off, it went into the potty. We're talking, we got to be, it's suggestible. Virgo is one of the suggestible, most suggestible signs of all. The Aries signs and Virgo are suggestible. They're segmented. And that's the way Virgo does things, step by step by step, partition by partition by partition. Compartmentalization. This is the sign of the bureaucrats. You know that everybody's got to have their right little run in. Hi. Oh, this is an astrology class. We're talking about the sign Virgo. You can sit in it if you like. After tonight, you might not. Yeah. Parasitic. Tapeworms are considered parasitic. And some people often consider all of the common signs parasitic. But in reality, a parasite is a step sign. It's between, like the mistletoe is a parasite. It doesn't put any roots in the ground, but it's halfway between the plant kingdom and the animal kingdom. The only plant that really responds exactly to astrological forces, and there are scientific studies, in fact, we used to carry books on those studies in the store here, that show that astral forces do work through mistletoe. So there is something here that camp followers or personal servants who are considered hanger-oners by the elitists, but those are the people who really do all the work, and they're considered parasites. There's something about, there is a symbiotic relationship where Virgo is involved. It's a give and get kind of relationship. Now, the tapeworm is one of the last animals ascending up the evolutionary chain that regenerates, which means that simplification, Virgo is one of those signs that likes to simplify things. And when you do not have too complex of a thing with, you know, a skeleton and a nerve system and all of that, you can then take the life energy and you can use it to regenerate. So that if you lop the end off of a tapeworm, it grows a new end. And, you know, you've seen those people in science classes. They find exactly the right place to cut the tapeworm so that the head grows a new head and the tail grows a new tail, and so that you have a two-tailed and a two-headed tapeworm. You didn't have those kind of people in your biology classes. So they're regenerative. And there's another thing. We're talking about Virgo is the sign of maintenance of the physical body. But if it gets, again, if the mind gets into it too much, as it often does where Virgo is involved, it carries it too far. I have Virgo rising, and for a large part of my life, I've been a food faddist. There have been twice in life that I have fasted more than 40 days, and 5 times in life that I've fasted more than 35 days. And you know with tapeworms, they're just about immortal, that they know exactly how long tapeworms live under normal conditions. And they let the tapeworm live till just before it would normally die, and then they fast it. And it shrinks. And it shrinks down to just about where it would die. And then they feed it again. And they let it get up to where it would be when it would die in the normal course of things, and then they fast it. And so that I think they've done it as many as 30 generations, that the 30 other generations of tapeworms have come and gone during the time that one single tapeworm has remained alive just by fasting. And so it's, you know, fasting is a rest to the body. So we're talking about here, you know, a Virgo may have strange ideas. Like when I was a child, you couldn't tell me that all the food went to the same stomach. I ate one thing first, and then I ate another, like a tapeworm, you know, segmented. One thing first, and then another. And if I ate cake, I ate the cake first and the frosting last. I'm always a frosting last kind of person. You know? I treat myself to the end, but I don't realize that when you do that, the senses tire out, especially the sense of taste, which is made that way so that we don't overeat. And so by the time you get to the frosting at the end of the meal, it doesn't taste as good as if you had taken and started it right away in the beginning. But that sign comes next time. The sweets lovers is the next one. Remember, we don't meet next week, because next week is day before Thanksgiving, and people will be tooling all over the place to strange places like Missouri and places like, who'd want to go to Missouri for Thanksgiving? Virgo also shares some things from the opposite sign. Some of the fish are ruled by Virgo, and especially one family of fish. It's a family of fish that both cleans and muddies the water simultaneously. It is the grain-eating fish. It is the carp. And there are people, when I look at them, especially if I see a profile and I see the carp-like lips, I say, oh no, I'm not getting into a discussion with this person. This is going to be a carper, and it's going to be a critic like you've never seen before in your life. And it usually is that way. I'm extremely careful of that. Some birds are ruled by Virgo. Penguins. I do want to get to see that penguin movie before it gets out of town. They're cool and impersonal. And they're stiff, and they're curious, all of which describe Virgo. And they're humanly congenial. I used to love that Bloom County cartoon. Remember that Bloom County with Opus the Penguin? He had this big beak on him, and every now and then he'd shave, and he'd cut the whole beak off. He said, oops, I cut myself. And they had one, this is going to be all nothing but side trips. But they had one instance of that where he takes the legend that they say that a penguin can always find its mother and that once a year they all congregate together. And he's musing this all over in his mind and he comes over this rise and here is a valley filled with thousands and thousands of penguins. And he says, what a bunch of crapola. What? Moon County is? Oh, yes. Yeah, I would very much like to see that. Ah, your seat has been usurped. Ah. Some people say dogs are ruled by Virgo, but I don't find that. We'll have the dogs at a much later time. Seasonally, it has changed or is changing from summer to autumn. That's where the name common signs get the quality common, because it has characteristics common to two seasons. In this case, common to summer and autumn. The sun has spent all of its energy in ripening the things, changing green to gold and changing starch to sugar and all of that. But it's the time of the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, we all have to work together, or at least we used to. When I was a young man or a young boy, or somewhere in between there, I used to work on a threshing team. And, first you shocked it all, and then there were people who pitched the bundles into the wagon and then into the threshing. And, everybody worked together. And that's the quality of Virgo. Sharing of labor leads to the celebration of labor. And that's one of our holidays that is perfectly astrologically in tune. Labor Day is always in the sign of Virgo. For children, it's the time for back to school. And Virgo, being a mercurial sign, is very, very studious. It can spend hours studying. Mythologically, Helen. Etymologically, the name Helen, the sister of Castor and Polydeuces, the two twins that are Gemini, is a common name in the Mideast. It's the same as our Ellen, or Della, or Dinah, or Delilah. All of those are forms that come from Helen in ancient times. So the story of Samson and Delilah, Samson is obviously the sun. And when the sun is in the lap of Delilah, and he is lying in the heart of the virgin in the zodiac, you can look up in the sky and see it, except for the sun is there, you can't look up at the sun. He shears his hair, meaning to say that the rays of the sun are weakened and he loses his strength. And then he is in the land of darkness, in the land of the Philistines. And after Delilah is done with him, it's the winter half of the year and darkness prevails. And so the sun loses its strength, but then again in spring it gets resurrected and all of that comes back. So this is indicative of the will being pilfered and being put into thoughts, into tedious mental activity. Leo is a willful sign and would overpower everything, but things can't stay that way, so it has to go into something more discreet, something more concrete and piece by piece. And that's what happens with Virgo. It, no, I don't care how strong you are, if you go from one bureaucrat to another, to another, to another, each one takes a stitch of your strength away and you weaken little bit by little bit by little bit. This is the sign of the pendulum pushers. So it's a creative impulse that may have started really pure, but things become complicated. if you're filled with leonine creative love and you want to pour it out, you start writing and you say, should I say it this way, or should I say it this way, or is this word a better word, or is that word a better word, and should I take this track or that track? Things get complicated. And that kind of complication, where creative love and the willful power of it gets splayed out into all different kinds of activities, that is a Virginian or a Virgil-like quality. You know, there's so many ways that anything can be done. Virgil certainly has thought of all of them. So the mind is the servant of the gods, and the mind is the servant of our divine spiritual nature. Our self-being is, in a small g, God, but once it starts to manifest and once it starts working out the details, there are so many options and things like that. And this is why you should never make rational decisions. Rational decisions are an oxymoron, because it's like the Senate. The Senate, when it's supposed to act on something, it does a study. And when it's supposed to act on the study, it says, we need more information. The mind or the rationality organizes information, and it gathers information through sense perception, but it is truly incapable of making a decision. The decision has to be made by the spirit. And to know the thing to do, if you have the facts laid out and especially organized as beautifully, sand dunes are a Virgo thing. And sand dunes are an impression of the wind. It's an organization of sand as beautiful as you can get. And you know that sand dunes sing? And this is the way Virgos do it. It's like a secretary, male or female, that lays it all out for the executive, and everything, all the information is in perfect order. But the self, the spiritual being, through intuition, playing on those organized facts, has to make the decision. If you make the mind make the decision, if you put the Virgo in the executive position, it's not supposed to be there. It's a tremendous support person, but it's a terrible executive, because it's always organizing its desktop and not making any decisions, because it wasn't meant to make decisions. That's not what it's supposed to do. In mythology, when we spoke about Cancer, we spoke about the uterine mother, Mother Nature, that creates through biological process. Now we run into another kind of mother, the virgin mother, the earth mother. And every society has a virgin earth mother. The Greeks and Romans had Demeter and Ceres, which is where our word cereal comes from. The Northern Europeans had Erda. The Egyptians had Isis. In India, they had the Deva Matre. And then there was Buddha's mother, who was a virgin. Was it Maya? Was her name? Maya was the mother of Buddha. All of these mothers are fruitful, but most of the time, they're virgin. Again, this is the high side of Virgo. They are virgin from personal participation. They don't have their feelings in it. The earth is always considered a pure mother that can give birth to everything that lives on it, because it doesn't have personal feelings. This is a mercurial sign, and so we're talking about a mental kind of earth. And sometimes when this higher virgin pure mental side of Virgo gets confused with the earthy sign, all kinds of funny things happen. Like in my life, I have known three nymphomaniacs. Now, I haven't known them carnally because it's utterly repulsive to me. Because if you see a nymphomaniac, it's a very sad thing because they think they should be earthy. They think they should be sensual. And they knock themselves out trying to be earthy and sensual, and they're not sensualistic at all. It's all in the mind. It's a very, very sad thing. At one time, I had a friend that I used to help out, and that used to, every few months, I didn't know this when I first met the person, would have to go to the mental institution. And it was really interesting. She seemed like she was an artist, and she really seemed really sharp and really open and really friendly. And then one day she forgets something, like her purse. And that was the sign that she was losing control of it. She was a Virgo, by the way, and she had this down to a T. And pretty soon she'd start going into her thing. And her thing was that she would retract from the body. And when she retracted from the body, she was beautiful. She looked even more, you know how some pregnant women just radiate light from their bodies? She was like that, even more. And she would be partly out of the body. And if you're partly out of the body, you know that that cosmic being that we call the Christ, that inhabited the body of Jesus, is ubiquitous throughout the ethers. And when somebody goes out and says, I'm Christ, they're true. Every mystic tries to have that experience where they realize the spirit of Christ in the ethers working in their consciousness. But it doesn't mean that they are that central focus that lived 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. And so she would pick up on this and she would say, I love more than Christ. And then she would convert people to Christianity. And she converted people to Christianity by copulating with them. And she would increase her conversion rate by the day until she was converting as many as 20 people a day, until she would just go into a schizophrenic slump. And about that time, somebody would finally do something. I don't know why people don't do things like when they see something like this coming. They call the police and they come and gently lead her and they take her out and go there, and she'd be out there for a few months and she'd be healthy again and she'd be out and the whole cycle would start all over again. It does have to do with Virgo and it doesn't at the same time. You see what I'm trying to get at? I'm trying to get at that principle, spiritual principle of service that works through the earth. Because this is the thing that's good about Virgo, it's down to earth. It knows what your material needs are and it serves them. But if the mentalization of the spiritual purity gets confused with the materialism, something like nymphomania is one of the things that can come from it. We're talking here about something like the Virgin of the Apocalypse that has the baby. We're speaking of what in mysticism is called Immaculate Conception. Now, there are three different things. There is Immaculate Conception, there is conception by the Holy Ghost, and there is virgin birth. Immaculate Conception doesn't have anything to do with the birth of a human being. It doesn't have anything to do with sex. Immaculate Conception is the transcendent creating of an idea and bringing it to finality that will become in the world of thought, in the desire world, and in the physical etheric world. It's immaculate because the threefold spirit has conceived an idea of self, and that is an immaculate conception. A conception are the union with the Holy Ghost. Normally, all of your past physical experiences, the record of all of your past physical bodies from all of your past lives, is placed in the sperm before you're conceived. And all of your etheric bodies from all of your past lives are placed in the egg. So when a sperm meets an egg, this is not an accidental process. And the placing of those records in the sperm and egg is normally done by beings that are called angels. They work with the etheric energy where all those records are stored. And if you become clairvoyant, I used to have some books here, I haven't had them in stock for a while now, that shows the very act of this being done. But sometimes when somebody very special is being born, like someone who is to be a world teacher or something like that, the conception work of bringing those records together and starting the process of cell division with the sperm and egg at exactly the right time, being surrounded by an atmosphere of divine love, is done by the highest of the angels, the highest of the highest of the angels, which is called Jehovah. By the Holy Spirit just means that that work is done in that way. It doesn't mean that somebody's crawled in bed with God or something like that. Those are absurd superstitions where people get ideas in their head. They materialistically take everything. Virgin birth is somebody who was born to a family where the conception was without passion. In ancient times, all of the conceptions used to be done in temples. And people were brought together with love, and it was a worshipful activity, and it was not surrounded by passion. And not being surrounded by passion, it was easier for someone to advance, because the whole process from the get-go, which strangely enough in Latin is ab ovo, from the egg, it could start out pure. You get the whole idea. These are all concepts that Virgil works with. If I worked with a super programmer at one time, he was many ways Virgil, but he would get the initial idea, and that initial idea, he would ramify it and re-ramify it and re-ramify it. And so what you're talking about is an initial conception, and out of that initial conception, an organization sprouts that all of the cosmos, this is why Virgos hate to be interrupted. I can't stand to be interrupted, the Virgo will say, because they're carrying something out and carrying that out to the last detail. I have Virgo rising, and there have been several occasions where I'm trying to complete a thought and somebody will interrupt me again and again, and I get up and walk out of my own bookstore because I just can't handle that. This also has to do with the word born. In the Bible, for example, Jesus says of John the Baptist, of those born of women, there is none more pure than John the Baptist. He leaves the door open that there are other ways that one can be born. When one becomes sufficiently developed spiritually, one has the word of power and can literally take a drop of blood and, having the thought form ready, speak to it and grow a new body and step out of one and into the other. We're talking about magical words. Virgo is the sign that loves words to the point that it almost becomes a mania. We're talking about a common sign. If we look at it, fixed signs are for the Father, the will. Cardinal signs are for the human spirit, or the Holy Ghost, and they are for action. But the mitigator are the common signs, and the common signs are for the Christ or the Son. and they mediate. But there are three degrees of manifestation. Meaning is with the Father. Words are with the common signs or the second principle, and names, when it becomes an individual, that you give somebody a name, that is associated with the cardinal signs. You have named somebody and you made them one person. There have been people that have had the word. I had, I think the oldest horoscope of a living person that I ever worked with was a woman from Russia who just barely escaped the Russian Revolution. And she, when she was a little girl, she was saved by the word. There were people who carried the word. It was a healing word. And their lives were miserable. They were completely servants. They could never have a distinguished position at all. They just had to go from place to place wherever they were called. And there were illnesses. They could look at the person, and they knew that this was a person that could be healed. And they would go to that person, and they would speak a word into their ear, and the person from that point on, there would be a turnaround in their condition, and they would get well. My friend from Russia was on her deathbed and had the word spoken in her ear. She says, you think you're going to remember this, but you don't. There's only one time that you do remember it, and that is when the word is passed from one person to another person. And there are cases of this, around the time of the Russian Revolution, they tried to disprove this as being a superstition. And one of the men who was a peasant carried the word, and he was on his deathbed. And the doctors did not believe in this at all, and you're not allowed to die unless you pass the word to someone else. And he knew this man couldn't live, and so he just kept him and didn't allow anybody into him. And they couldn't find anybody that would take the word from him. So here he's in terrible agony, and he's on the threshold of death. Finally, they get somebody from a distant area who will take the word. But the doctor has the person waylaid and gets him drunk, and he never gets there. And the person is in horrible suffering, and he intuitively figures out what the doctor has done, and he can't bear the suffering anymore. So with his last strength, he gets up into bed, and he passes the word to the doctor. And the doctor didn't have the soul nature for it. And the man dies after he passes the word. And within 3 days, the doctor commits suicide because he can't handle having the word without being soul ready for it. It's a story. You can take it as... I happen to believe in things like that because I know that they work. Oh, my goodness. In the beginning was the word. Everything, a word is something that transports invisible meaning. The Father is always invisible. No one has ever seen the Father. But the word is what transfers the meaning into the world, which gets finalized in the names of things that become the things. So what we're talking about with Virgo is that whole process of, in an organized, rhythmic way, carrying out divine intention. And that's what Virgo is all about. That's the high side of Virgo. Biblically, Jacob has only one daughter, Dinah, which is another version of Delilah. Cosmologically, it is the Logos. We've pretty much talked about this. It's the spirit that's beyond mentality. But Virgo is a negative sign. It's Mercury's negative rulership. Therefore, it is deductive rather than inductive. The mind senses the truth and produces thoughts as vehicles for the truth. It deduces from universal truths. So So what we're talking about here is logic, where truth is put in such a form that it is comprehensible, that it is useful. We're not talking just about an oscillation, not just something buzzing back and forth like Gemini. What we're talking about here is like harmonic analysis, or if you really slum, harmonic synthesis. he's a student. Are you an analyst or a synthesis? Oh, I got it wrong. I should have said when you slum into analysis. But it's where everything is seen as a vibratory pattern, as a wave. Now, this can work different ways. Mercury is very excellent with words. And words, each with its vibratory pattern, has a tone, which we sometimes call a pitch. And pitchmen are ruled by Virgo. You know, those people who can talk you into anything or sell you anything, that's a Virgo kind of person. It's a funny thing. Virgos are very persuadable, but they're also very, very persuasive. Now, if something has a harmonic to it, or if it has its basic harmonic rhythm, that tends to reestablish itself and not break down. And what we're talking about with Virgo, we're talking about the sign of repair, self-repair. That's what our bodies are. The most perfect kind of system that you can make is a system that figures out what's wrong with itself and repairs itself. That is the ideal, because there the perfect idea or the perfect meaning which gets put into a system, that perfection is maintained with the system being able to take care of itself. We're talking about a sign of computer programmers. And computer programmers have their own version of an old maxim. The old maxim is, to err is human, what is divine? Well, for computer programmers, it is to iterate is human, to recurse is divine. recursive program is a program that writes another program from itself, or generates programs within itself. That's a system that we're talking about healing here. This is an organization that takes care of itself, but it doesn't take care of itself for itself. It takes care of itself for something else. That's really important. Virgo always has to, it's like the Bob Dylan song, everybody's got to serve someone. So, being very deductive and self-repairing, it does things step by step, bit by bit. Each little factoid or each little deduction that leads to a bigger picture is very, very important. So this is a sign that asks itself, does it work? Can it work better? It's concerned with the modus operandi, how things are done. Now, we said earlier that this is the sign of purification. Now, sometimes this is a very neurotic sign. Probably even more than Gemini, this sign is inclined to neurosis. And sometimes its neurosis takes the form that it wants something perfectly pure. But that perfect pureness, when one is neurotic, is to remove it from nature. And this is what our whole drug industry is all about. Our whole drug industry is materialistically neurotic, and it wants the purest substance. Like, for example, there are yams that you eat them, that they eat them all the time in Nepal and places like that, and they control blood pressure. And they eat these yams, and their blood pressure is great, even being way up in the mountains. So the Virginian scientists or chemists get a hold of it. They're going to say, I want the pure stuff. And what they do is denaturalize it. And they have the pure stuff, the agent that causes that. But without realizing that when you take something out of its environment, you have taken it out of what your whole evolution has built to serve, what it was built to serve. We've evolved with the plants, and we've evolved with the animals. And if we take in a plant substance, our bodies can handle that. The amount that is in the yam is good for the body. But if you have the pure thing there, it makes its own environment. And that own environment is called a side effect. This is why the whole notion of purity producing side effects is a misapplication of purity. The other kind of purity is purity within the function of things, where you get something to work as well as it can work, but without in any wise destroying the ongoing functionality. That is what everybody who has Virgo in them should try to accomplish. This is the sign of words. It likes all the different meanings and all the little differentiations and all of the distinctions. Since I even, on the computer, I subscribe. I pay $25 a year to Webster's Unabridged Dictionary. And do you know you can become clairlexiant? Yes, it's been happening to me that I give talks about very weird things and ideas that I think nobody covers in that way. And in so doing, there are certain meanings that I want to get to. And I will focus on what I'm getting at, and a word will come to mind. And it's a word that I've never used in my life, and I don't know the meaning of it. So I go to the dictionary, and it's exactly the right word. So that you can, if you develop the right kind of concentration and you're focusing on a truth, you attract yourself to the word that expresses exactly what you want. And so it's a kind of clairlexiance. It's really a joy. It even works in crossword puzzles, which probably is an abuse of it. I know that certain words are going to be in a crossword puzzle even before I started using the crossword puzzle, because I can feel that they're there. Talk about a word maniac. This is one of the signs that plans and that has all of the anticipations for there. It looks, takes care of all of the details. This is the sign of details or of little things. It's the law of service. If you want to win the affection of a child, you have the child do something for you. And once that has taken place, the child is yours forever. I've seen it happen where somebody's asked a child to blow out a match. And the child blows out the match, and there's a bond between the person and that child. We all want to participate. And we all feel healthier when we're serving and when we're part of the whole business. It actually feels good, and you feel good about yourself in service. I didn't for a long time. Now I'm very scrupulous about dental hygiene. And I actually like it, and it's flossing your teeth is a time of the day that you can sit there and you can think about things, and you can review things from the day. You know, there's something peaceful about having regular routines. And regular routines, you know, everything in the cosmos is rhythmic. And if you live a life that is arrhythmic, you're just asking for ill health. Sometimes it has to be that way. And then there's the other law of service. If you give service to others, you get back from them. Let's look at it from the macrocosm. Because the universal spirit, God, shares its consciousness with all of us, and we serve that concept of the universal spirit. Just think of what the universal spirit gets back as each one of us unfolds our divinity and gives it back to the cosmos. And each one of us becomes divine. And it's a tremendous kind of way of looking at things. And that's the way service is. This is not only making the way, but it is actually laying out. So this means mapping or routing or things like that. Sometimes Virgo people go to the restaurant and they eat the menu instead of their food because they're more interested in the menu. Philosophically, this is a sign of pure mentalism, that everything comes from a thought. And sometimes pure mentalism thoughts take on a life of their own and they become very peculiar. Such a thought is like a tapeworm that self-regenerates. So this is the kind of consciousness that likes tautological systems where axioms are laid down and out of those axioms everything else gets generated. So it's that kind of thinking about things, thinking about thinkings. It's pure deduction, especially about words, like things like linguistics or semantics or etymology or any of those things. They like to think thoughts about thought. Therefore, there's something about this sign that when you're thinking thoughts about your thinking of thoughts, you're turning inward. This is somebody that's introspective. This is very different than Gemini, the other Mercury sign. Gemini looked at the phenomena that were produced, and the phenomena represented the reality. They were phenomenologists. Therefore, the facts outside indicate what put those facts together. Virgo, it's the other way around. It watches itself making the thoughts that produce the facts. So this is introspective. And that's why this sign has sort of a hitch about it. It's hard to go, you know, Gemini is very adaptable. It goes with the flow. But sometimes that doesn't happen with Virgo because it's watching its thinking process and that keeps it from being able to act with the same kind of fluidity and ongoingness. Obviously, this is a sign that loves detail. It loves complication. Loves complication. It's more Platonistic than it is Aristotelian. It likes going from consequence back to the cause. And it also likes rethinking and rethinking again. As a nature force, all of the forms of particularization, decimation, pulverization, atomization, all of those are Virginian things. So the things that are produced by that are Virginian too. Dust, sand, space dust, abrasives, ashes, anything like that is Virginian. Sound that results from hollows, like flutes, things like that. Especially conduits and tunnels. Not roads, that's like Gemini, but conduits in hollowed out places. Sound waves, shock waves, radio waves, sonar, radar, ultrasound, all of those are Virginian qualities. Tuning forks are Virginian. Anatomically and physiologically, the intestines, they meander around. Gemini just gets something swallowed, but in the intestines, things move along slowly, producing a lot of surface and a lot of caves and a lot of pockets. And they're alkaline rather than acid. They got all those little villi in them, and all of the very selective, discriminatory things. And together with Scorpio, it rules the large intestine, the rehashing of things. The wasting part of the large intestine is Scorpio, but the recycling of water is shared by Virgo and Scorpio. The gut is both linear and circular. It works by peristaltic action. And you know that there's a relationship that is inverse. That's one of those funny things. That the longer your intestines are, that is, the more Virgo that you have, the less likely you are to be active. They used to be a thing that back in the late 50s and early 60s, they used to cut pieces of intestines off of people so that they would have a more assertive, aggressive stance about the world. And it worked. And there's a kind of compassion, just like with the opposite sign. You can feel things in your intestines. Together with Scorpio and especially Jupiter, the liver is ruled by Virgo. It's the seat of desire behind thought. And it is the chemistry lab of the body, chemical purification. The liver is, again, very serving and sacrificing. The liver will try to cleanse your body of so many poisons that it'll go into a coma from all the poisons it's trying to process. It's called coma hepatica. It is the transformer. It transforms things from one state to another. It's the storehouse of all the minerals and oxidizers and the glycogen and all of that. It's where all the enzymes and coenzymes, the catalysts, which are mercurial, are stored. It's the center of metabolism. It's the center of synthesis. The mind takes care of all of these things. I had to cut out about 30% of this. It would have been here all night. Too many stories. Positive motivations and values. Good as truth. Not honesty, as truth. Good as purity. These are the purists. They'll eat only one food sometimes for an entire meal, sometimes an entire day. Sometimes they're perfectionists, sometimes neurotic perfectionists. Good as service, as functioning, as performing, as working, as participating, as helping, as improving. All of those are Virgo words. Doing things for the sake of doing, such as exercise. Good for the truth of the good, or for the purity of the good. Cleanliness. There are strange notions that Virgo has about cleanliness, but Virgo and Cancer together, you find combinations when Virgo and Cancer, there are aspects between them. It's one of those people who washes their hands about 50 times a day or something like that. Psychology of consideration or thoughtfulness. And morally scrupulous. How much time do we have left? Okay, we're talking about, right? Potential negative motivations and values. Critical. Sometimes purposelessly discriminating. Nitpicky, petty, fussy. Funny thing is, as critical as they are, they're really thin-skinned to criticism themselves. They're sensitive, but they will change. Even Lyndon Johnson changed. He was very much Virgo. They're puristic and they're faddish. You have to follow the plan. And since it's an earth sign, it's the sign that is earth sign and a mercury sign. More than any other sign, it's subject to literalism. It's in the book. It must be true. I can see it there, black and white. It must be true. Complication. Sometimes Virgo will just muddy the water with complication. If it doesn't have an answer to your argument, it'll just bring in all kinds of complications without having a counter-argument kind of a thing. It likes to object, and it likes to complain. This is the sign of acrimonious whiners, if there ever was one. This is the belly achers. Mental materialism. We talked a little bit about that already. And because it's a common sign and a mercurial sign, it isn't a real strong sign. And sometimes when there is a realization of not being strong, there are overstatements. So this is the sign of melodrama. Not drama, but melodrama. And sometimes even using melodrama for cynical ends. All the earth signs can be cynical. Like all the other earth signs, it can be skeptical and doubting and questioning, but it can be persuaded. It's probably the sign most likely to be neurotic. And it's a treacherous kind of neurosis, because it likes the system of the neurosis. And if it goes for counseling, it likes talking about the neurosis, and it, because they're excellent patients, because they keep coming back again and again and again. And they always have a lot to say about it, about the whole situation that's going on. And, you know, for several reasons, the counselors really like them. You know, they're model patients, and they want to remain that. This is the sign of potent potential word abuses. It's the sign of gossip, and rumor, innuendo, and slander. Other ways, it's the sign of mental materialism, like psychosomatic illnesses and hypochondria and all of those things. By polarity, it's negative, but it's not the most negative of all of them, except sometimes in state of mind. It's introverted, certainly. It's introverted and capable of being suggested to. This is one of those signs that can't stand to see blood. You know what I mean? That's kind of... By attribute, it's common and mutable. It's changeable, but more in terms of persuasion. And it will change for the improvement of self and other people. It's an earth sign. It's common earth, and it's dust. It's particulate and particular. The ruler is Mercury. This is the mind for the sake of the mind. Jupiter has its detriment there. It's too petty, too many details for Jupiter. However, a very good quality of Jupiter in Virgo comes out, and that's a broad scale analysis. Jupiter in Virgo people are the people who always know who done it many chapters ahead of time. Exalted, Mercury is exalted and rules Virgo. Fall, Venus. Nobody wants to love in a petty way, and nobody wants to get gossipy about love or things like that. People who have the sun in Virgo. Louis XIV, he was called the Sun King, because whatever he did, people had to be watching him and being around him. Fred McMurray, dry. Anybody know Jim Corbett? The boxer, very deft. Walter Reuther, get organized. And remember when we said Wild Bill Hickok was a Gemini? Well, Jesse James was a Virgo. All the common signs have their cowboy heroes. Grandma Moses was a Virgo. Very detailed, very quaint the way she did things. Someone who is very sensitive and vulnerable, Ingrid Bergman, always played those sensitive roles. Here's one that liked tone and liked the mental notion of tone, Schoenberg with his tone roles. Here's one that's very dry and liked local color, Bret Hart. And then two jazz musicians, one of them who loves speed, and the Virgo people love the speed. Charlie Parker was a Virgo. The other one was very earthy, the president of the saxophone, Lester Young. Here's one that really was, I think, the genius of the 20th century in terms of pitch and tone, Ray Charles. Here's somebody that was literary but psychically negative, Taylor Caldwell. Here's somebody that was a cultural promoter but had a hard time being queen, Elizabeth I. Here's somebody that was tactile but mentally peculiar, Maria Montessori. The ultimate server, Jane Addams. Here's somebody melodramatic and with a mental compassion, Mary Shelley. The ultimate critic and literary person, reformer, Theodore Dreiser. Somebody literary and ironic, O. Henry. Here's somebody very earthy, Aristotle Onassis. I'll just mention this one, it's self-explanatory, Twiggy. Somebody very dry, Charles Boyer. Here's somebody very critical, at least he played those parts well, Sid Caesar. And here's someone who was extremely witty and used sound quality, Peter Sellers. Probably one of the very best, I don't know if she's alive anymore, astrologers in the nation, Zephora Dobbins, very psychological astrologer. Agatha Christie, obviously. Lyndon Baines Johnson, he had a Shibonsima operation scar. Remember when he did that with the press? Here's somebody very earthy, very common man, Anton Dvorak. Very complex, Roddy McDowell. Here's one I don't like, is I can appreciate what he does, but I don't like the word games he plays. Leonard Cohen. Introspective, Helmholtz. Counting and numeric, James Jeans. Another dry, sarcastic one, Arthur Godfrey. Faddish, Queen Wilhelmina of Holland. Here's one that was a purist and a wordist and a faddist and everything else. He made vegetarian restaurants all over Russia and Europe, Leo Tolstoy. And he had preached the doctrine of virgin purity too, but his wife complained that she kept having child after child after child. Funny thing. Dramatic Edgar Rice Burroughs. Here's another very dry one. Very neurotic, Lily Tomlin. Here is someone who acts like an info and an organizer, Margot St. James. Just for pure dirt, Huey Long. For peculiar technique, John Cage. For vegetarian reformer, up there in Sinclair. Here's one that was very complicated, very dramatic, but very precise. Bernstein. Tautological, John Locke. Petty, informal, Jacques David. Critical, H.L. Mencken. Earthy, elegant, Sophia Loren. Tautological, Hegel. Faddist, Margaret Trudeau. And probably the greatest Virgo of all time. The people who are experts in IQ claim this is the highest IQ human that they have any idea of recording. Johann Wolfgang Goethe was a Virgo. In abstract, Virgo rules servants, people who work with sound, pharmacists, cartographers, virgins, including nuns and monks, accountants, critics, librarians, organizers, impressionists, clerics, parasites. You know, parasites are useful. If you're too clean, you get Crohn's disease. You have to take worms to get away from it. Programmers, human engineers, nutritionists, laborers, nurses, trainers. You know, the latest fad is they now have life trainers. And I have a friend who's a life trainer who can't live her life out of a paper bag, and she's training other people to live their life. It's unbelievable. In the ascendant, it's a little bit taller than usual. Very often pigeon-toed. Very often complainers. he knows is more likely to be longer than shorter. And it's likely to have a heavy bridge. Slender. Sometimes, instead of pigeon-toed, it's splayed feet, like the opposite sign, Pisces. This is the sign of the whiners. Usually small lips. I have almost no lips. I'm Virgo rising very much that way. Yes, and I'm the perfect Virgo rising. When you get past the middle of life, there's that little paunchy. So I have the sun in Scorpio and Virgo rising. So I am both raunchy and paunchy. And they usually have peculiar walks and a lot of curiosity. Often lively eyes, often suggestible like my tapeworm. Mild-mannered, often nervous restraint. And have peculiar mannerisms. And vertically lined faces. Remember we said Taurus had the astrid lines that went out from a center. The vertical lines, really strong, are Virgo. They're prone to vampirism. That is to say, if you have Virgo rising and you go around people who are old or ill, you have to cross your hands and feet because you have a kind of sympathy that people can draw energy off of you. I knew a woman at one time that one pat on the back was as tiring as a 30-minute workout. thin hair, and that I'm a very very habitual, very long-faced. Let's look a very little bit at the sixth house. How much we got left? 2 minutes. Ooh, we're going to have to speed through here. This is one of the professional houses, but this is more working and employees, even slaves or support staff. It's occupation, not income so much as occupation. It's all the working conditions and the working place. It's the doing part of profession, skills, talents, practices, techniques, crafts, all of those are sixth house things. It's also how the thing is done. Method, procedure, programs, routines, schedules, all of those kinds of things. Also the attitude as the attitude of maintenance or the attitude of servants, the attitude of efficiency or repair. Especially how things are done for and in the body. That is hygiene and healing and how one takes care of breakdowns. Care, diet, all of those things. Things that are done voluntarily. Voluntary services rather than involuntary services. Like the draft is the 12th house. That's involuntary service. But if you enlist, that is the 6th house. In mundane or horary astrology, labor conditions, employment trends, quality control, unions, in bicameral legislative governments, it's usually the lower house. Maintenance, civil service, public health. If they are not pets but small animals, like if you have mice getting in the house, that would be a sixth house kind of thing. Injury rates, disease rates, nurses, slavery and servants, together with cancer domestics, and together with the 10th house public servants. That's it. I bet you we hit it right on the head, huh?